Friends, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this day, this second Sunday in season of Christmas, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's have a couple of announcements to apprise you of. We will be having a congregational meeting next Sunday, January the 12th. The meeting will be called early in the service, so please make sure you get here early. The sole purpose of the meeting will be to approve the recommendation of the Church Nominating Committee to elect Stephanie Watusum to the office of deacon. Again, the meeting will take place in the early part of the worship service. So, again, that's going to be next Sunday, January the 12th. And again, the sole purpose, the only purpose, is for the to approve the recommendation of the nominating committee. Also, you'll find in your bulletin the inclement weather policy. The weather is getting crisper, and interesting things are beginning to happen in terms of snow. We pray that we won't have snow that will affect us from being able to come to church and to worship, but we just may. So if we do have snow that disrupts our being able to come and worship, policy that is here in the bulletin is a policy that will be in place. So please take the time to read it, be familiar with it, so that you are aware of the procedure. There are other things going on here at Only Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin thoroughly, as well as go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Only Presbyterian Church.
The first reading is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. For this reason, I, Paul, prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by my revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose which he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel, verses 1 through 12. So let us listen at this time to God's word for us. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. And when they had heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Friends, you've noticed that we are gathered here in the chapel this morning. It's an unexpected place to be this morning. We had some issues with the steam in one of our radiators, and so we were not able to heat the sanctuary, but we give God thanks that we have this nice, cozy chapel that we can retreat to. So give God thanks for that. This, of course, is still Christmas. This is the last Sunday in Christmas, actually. Tomorrow will begin a new church season, the season of Epiphany. And if you're like me and you didn't grow up in a church that followed the liturgical calendar, you might be saying to yourself, what in the world is Epiphany? Well, Epiphany is from one of those Greek words that means to reveal or revealing. And that's what Epiphany is about. It's about seeing something new. It's about seeing something in a whole new way. It's about seeing something that you weren't able to see before, and that's what the season of Epiphany is about. And so for the next several weeks, we'll be in the season of Epiphany, and we'll be seeing things in a whole new way. In our epistle lesson for this morning, Paul talks about a great mystery, a mystery that has been hidden throughout the generations. And I know when we hear the word mystery, we tend to think of a puzzle that needs to be figured out, or we think of something, a puzzle that needs to be solved. Maybe if we study it hard enough, or if we observe it hard enough, we might be able to solve the mystery. But David Bartlett points out that for Paul, a mystery is not so much a puzzle that needs to be figured out, but it's a treasure that needs to be revealed. And that's what Epiphany is about. It's about God revealing and making known this wonderful treasure, this wonderful gift for the whole world, which is what Christmas, of course, is about. The season of Epiphany always begins on the same day every year. It begins on January the 6th, which is tomorrow. And it always begins with the same reading. It begins with the wise men that we heard from our gospel this morning. Tradition has it, of course, that there were three wise men, though the text doesn't really tell us that. The number three is conjectured from the gifts that are brought, the frankincense, the gold, and the myrrh. What the text does tell us is that these wise men were foreigners. They were from the east. They were not Israelites, but pagans. And we're also told that they were magi, which is just another word, way of saying that they were wise, they were very learned, they were knowledgeable, the kinds of people that knew a great deal about the world around them. And yet, despite all of their knowledge and all of their wisdom and all of their learnedness, they are still in the dark. They're still in the dark about God. They're still in the dark about salvation. They're still in the dark even about what we human beings are called to be. But then we are told that one day they see the light. God sends them an epiphany. God sends them a star to pierce the darkness, and they follow the star all the way to Bethlehem, the little town of Bethlehem, little out of the way place in the sticks. They follow the star all the way to Bethlehem, and there they see it. They see this great treasure. They see this great gift, this gift that God has gifted the whole world, this gift that God has gifted the whole of creation. They see this epiphany. I'm sure you've had your own epiphanies. I'm sure you've all, at some point or another, seen someone in a different light, seen someone or something in a whole new way. The pastor and writer Edwina Gatley writes about one epiphany that she had concerning a man by the name of Mark. Mark was an old homeless wino who used to hang out near the church where she pastored in a large urban area. She and the church had long given up on Mark. They didn't think that they could do anything for him. He just seemed to be too far gone, too committed to the life of being a homeless wino. But Mark would regularly show up to some of the church's outreach programs, and he would participate in some of the things that the church did around the community. And he also liked to accompany the pastor when she went out on the streets. She used to go out on the streets and minister to some of the ladies of the night that used to work nearby, and Mark used to love to go with the pastor to accompany her on that particular ministry. But one day when she and Mark were out walking, they came across an old green table in the bushes that someone had discarded. You know how people like to discard old things by the side of the road like they do here in Alney. Someone discarded an old table and they pulled it out of the bushes, and the table, of course, was in bad shape. It was dirty and had an old dull green paint over it that was peeling. And as they pulled it out, Mark said that he could restore it. I can restore that table. So they pulled it out and took it back to the church, and Mark began immediately to restore it. He started scraping off the old green paint, and underneath the old green paint, there was some old red paint, and he began to scrape that paint off as well. And he began scraping and scraping, and it took him several weeks to get it finished, but he finally got it finished. And when he finished it, there was a beautiful, fully restored mahogany table. And that's when Gatley received the epiphany that she had was that the table was Mark, and that Mark was the table. Underneath the rough exterior of alcoholism and all the problems associated with it was a wonderful, beautiful human being, a human being made in the image of God. And she began to see Mark, not as a wino, not as someone who was homeless, but she began to see him in a whole new way, a human being who's loved by God. And that's what the wise men do this morning. They begin to see things in a whole new light. They begin to see reality in a whole new way. Epiphany, we were reminded, is a revelation about God. It's a revelation about who God is, but it's also a revelation about us. It's a revelation about who we are, who we are called to be as creatures made in the image of God. Calvin said that in order to understand ourselves, we must first understand something about God. And that's what Epiphany is about. Epiphany shows us something about God so that we can better understand something about ourselves and who we are called to be. The journey of the Magi is, of course, a journey towards two ways of being human. One way of being human, of course, is the way of King Herod in Jerusalem. We all know the way of King Herod. We won't take the time again to recall some of the things that Herod did, but he was not the kind of person that you would want to be close to in any way. The way of Herod is the way of deceit. It's the way of lies. It's the way of violence. It's the way of trying to hold on to power by any means available. King Herod's way of being human is the way that we see all around us. And I'm always intrigued by the fact that even the Magi, with all of their wisdom, with all of their learnedness, almost got sucked into the ways of Herod. We're told that they go through Jerusalem and they call on Herod, and they almost get sucked in to the dark ways of Herod. And it's a cautionary tale, especially for those of us who have seen the light, to be careful about calling on those with political power, even when those political powers feign to be pious, even when they feign to want to worship, even when they feign to want to do the right thing. Fortunately, we are told that when the wise men go back home, they return by another way. They don't go by Jerusalem at all, but they return by another way. And we're reminded this morning that there is another way. There's another way of being human. And that way is the way of the little baby who's born in Bethlehem, the little baby whose light the wise men see piercing their darkness. We Christians sometimes leave the impression that the most important thing about Jesus is the fact that he was born and that he died. That he died, of course, for our sins. And those two things are terribly important. Jesus' birth is important, and his death for our sins is also important. But the gospel narratives take most of their time telling us something about how Jesus lived. They want us to know that he lived and how he lived. And that's terribly important because it's in the life that Jesus lived that we get this epiphany, that we get this revelation about God. We learn that God is not just this God who's all powerful, that God is not a God who's just up there, that God is not a God that's waiting for us to mess up, waiting to get us when we mess up, that God is not a God who wants to be segregated from us, that God is not a God who hates us when we do bad things. But it's in the life of Jesus that we learn that God is a loving God, that God is a merciful God, that God is a forgiving God, that God is a gracious God, that God is a God who loves sinners. God is a God who is constantly after sinners. He is constantly wanting sinners to come near to him. God is a gracious and loving God. We learn that in Jesus' life. And because God is a gracious God, because God is a loving God, we understand that that's the way that we human beings are called to be as well. We get a picture, an epiphany of what it means to be human. Any ways of trying to be human that has violence at the center of it, any way of trying to be human that countenances violence, that countenances separation, that looks upon some people as unworthy, that looks upon other people as worthy, any ways of being human like that is not God's way. It's 180 degrees away from anything that Jesus ever taught us. 180 degrees away from anything that we come to see and the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what this narrative of the wise men wants us to see is what it means to be human. What it means to be a human being made in the image of God. What it means to be a part of the new creation. Paul has a way of describing all of this revealing and all of these epiphanies and what he says in the passage that we read this morning. Remember Paul's story? You know, Paul was this super religious Pharisee. He's this super religious Jew. Paul's not a sinner. When we talk about, you know, conversion stories, we often talk about conversion stories from a life of sin to a life of God. But Paul's story is not a conversion story. Paul's this super religious Jewish Pharisee. And his life is one of violence. Paul is willing to use violence. Paul hates anybody who he thinks is a threat to his people, a threat to Judaism. And so he hates Christians and he hates and is willing to use violence in order to subdue them. And then Paul has this epiphany. He has this revealing, this epiphany of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it turns Paul's life upside down. He has this new vision of what it means to be human, this new vision of what it means to be God's people. God's people doesn't depend on being a particular ethnic identity. God's people doesn't depend on being able to exert violence. God's people doesn't depend on being people of power. God's people depend on being a part of this new community, knit together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul has a word for it. He calls it grace. Paul says that through God's grace, I am a servant of this new reality. I've been called to be a servant of this new way of being, a servant of this new way of being human. For Paul, the great epiphany, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is that now everybody has access to God. You don't have to be just a Jew to have access to God, but everyone has access to God. Everyone, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what color your skin, no matter what your economic status is, everyone has access to God. If you're like me, you're constantly forgetting your PIN numbers. You're trying to get into something. You're trying to get into your computer to see your account or something, and it says access denied because you don't have the right kind of PIN number. You know, kind of. And just burn, you know, I hate that, trying to, you know, go through and get a PIN number. But Paul says now all of us, regardless of who we are, whether we're wise men who are far, far away, whether we're people who are trapped in darkness, no matter who we might be, we all have equal access to God. We're all a part of the people of God's promises. And Paul says that that's part of the grace. The grace that had touched his own life, and the grace that touches all of our lives as we seek to be the faithful people that God has called us to be. For Paul, that's the great mystery and the great treasure that Epiphany reveals, that this story of the wise men reveals, that God's love for all of humanity, and God's love for all of us, a love in which God comes, God's self, to be with us, in the midst of us, and for us, showing us what it means to be human, and showing us what it means to be saved in a world that is ensnared in